Good evening. I'm Michael. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Michael.
I'm a third of six children. I grew up in upstate New York. My father drank in my family, and we just saw a lot of things that we shouldn't have seen and heard. And I shared a room with my brother, and one night, my brother and I said that we wouldn't do that, what our father did when we grew up. And I always remembered that. But I got in high school, and some of the kids were going up on the railroad tracks to get to drink beer or whatever they could get an adult to buy for them. And it was cool, and it was sort of a means of being accepted by people. And I typically would get very sick, and then I would do it the next weekend. And that became kind of a lifelong thing for me. But it was important, and it was a little bit easier to drink when I had to socialize with people. I can't say at that point it was too much of a problem because I didn't really have a lot of money for drinking. But I know when I got one of my first jobs became an evening job. And every night when I would get off, I would go to a bar, and many nights I would stay there until it closed. And I didn't. And then I would sleep until it was time to go to work. And I never saw that there was anything weird about that. And then I moved to a bigger city. I moved from upstate New York to Philadelphia. And my roommates started saying things to me like, "Do you know what you did last night?" And it was insulting people or something. And I would remember getting ready to go out. And then I would remember waking up in the morning, and I had no idea what happened in between. And I mean, now it seems like a real red flag, but at the time it didn't mean anything to me. And it was during that time I moved to another place, and one day I came home and my roommate had put something called the 20 questions on my bed. And I guess his therapist gave it to him for me. And so I looked at it. I looked at this stupid thing, and I answered yes to about 17 of the 20 questions. And I guess if you answer yes to one or two, you're probably an alcoholic. And then I said, "Well, who wrote this stupid thing? This is a stupid pamphlet. And it's John Hopkins that wrote it." Which is a pretty famous place. And I said, well, I don't care. I'm having a lot of fun now, and I'm not giving this up. And I moved out to the Bay Area, and I was always paying my bills and you know, my rent and all that stuff, but I never have any money. And I mean, now it was pretty simple. I drank it all and would just have enough. I had a car, and sometimes I would drive like this because I was seeing double, and I was afraid that some drunk might run into me, and then they'd find out that I was drunk too, and they might think it was my fault, but I knew it wasn't really my fault. And some mornings I would look out the window, and part of the car was up on the curb the way I parked it. And many times the people upstairs from me would knock on my door and say, "Oh, you left your key in the door again." And, "Oh, thank you." And I just didn't connect the dots. Yeah, just time went on, and I was drinking a lot. And when I got home from work, I was buying two bottles of bourbon. So I, you know, if somebody came to the house or something, you wanted to have enough, you know, to offer them. And I would have some bourbon and I would smoke something. And I didn't care how bad of a day at work it was. I was just gone. And so I went home for Christmas in the December of 88, and I was 39 years old then, and there was a lot of drinking, and there was I stayed with people who were drunk and they were fighting, and that was pretty awful. And I came home and I had lunch with a woman, Gail, who I used to work with, and we're having lunch, and I'm telling her about my what happened over the holidays, and she says, "Oh, I'm going to these meetings. Yeah, I'm going to these meetings." And I'm thinking, she knows that I grew up in this really messed up alcoholic family. She's probably going to adult children of alcoholic meetings, and she wants me to join her. And then she drops the bomb. She says, "Yeah, I'm going to Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe you'd like to come with me." And my thought was, if I say no, she's going to think that I have a problem. So I'll go to her stupid meeting and that'll be the end of it. And I went. It was a Friday meeting. It was in downtown San Francisco at the PG&E building, and it was on in a side cafeteria that they offered them. And I hated it. And I hated it because every person that spoke said they were powerless over alcohol. And I wanted to say to them, why don't you learn how to drink? And then you won't have to come to these stupid meetings. And I think you're all losers. And I left and I got drunk Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. And I was taking a class on Monday night, which was very important to me. And I said, this class is important to you, but you're not going to be 100% ready for that class because you're going to be hungover. And I came back to a meeting on Tuesday and I said the fatal words, I'm an alcoholic. And that was the last time I drank. And everybody was giving me their phone number. I didn't want your phone number. I'm going to study these 12 steps really hard. I'm going to be out of here in a year at most. And you know, you can keep your, and they were giving me their phone number and they were just offering a lot of advice. And there was one woman, Patsy, said, you know, on Saturday morning, there's a big book meeting, and you should go to it. And I thought, God, why don't you mind your own business? I'm doing fine. And so I did this with a lot of stuff. I would complain about it and say, oh God, why don't they leave me alone? And then I would do it. So I went to the big book meeting. The greatest thing was when we read a story and we were done, if somebody didn't like the meeting, or if they didn't like the story, they would say, I hated that story. And I hated it because, and they would tell you. And they didn't get kicked out. Because in my mind, there was somebody that was probably in charge and they were going to be told, you have to leave. You can't talk that way. I went with my friend Will to a meeting on Saturday of my first week. And I met somebody that had 30 days. And that to me was like a miracle. How did you ever get 30 days? What do I have to do to get 30 days? Because I know all those people that say they have years, they're all lying because nobody can quit drinking for that long. So I just I got a sponsor. Somebody was having a retreat for the fourth step, and I'm still grateful to Will. Will had about 5 years, and he was a terrible drunk that I knew years ago. And he said, Michael, all that stuff on the wall, the steps and everything, Don't worry about that now. Just go to a meeting every single day and don't drink in between the meeting, and all that stuff will make sense to you in time. And that's kind of what I did. Because at one point, there's something that is read a lot in AA meetings, and it's called How It Works. And I guess they were reading it at every single meeting. But a month after I started going, I went, geez, I thought, did I hear that one before? And somebody said, yeah, they read it at every meeting. But I was just, you know, I came to the meeting and then I came too. So God bless Will. God bless. There was another man that I knew he was sober, and I told him I had quit drinking, and we went in and had Chinese food. And he said, all the people you used to get drunk with, you have to let them go. If you have any booze or anything you smoke, either give it away or throw it away, but do not have it in your house. Because if you get home and you have a bad day, that is gonna, it's really gonna be very helpful that it's not in your home. And then the phone, everybody was giving me their damn phone number. I don't want to talk to you. Just leave me alone. And sometimes I would just be unpleasant to them and it would be a short conversation. But one day somebody called me and I had a bad day. And all I did, I just kept talking about what a bad day I had. He never gave advice. All he did was listen to me. And at the end of the conversation, I wasn't upset anymore. I wasn't contemplating doing anything stupid. And it dawned on me, that's why they want you to get on the phone. And what I love about 12-step programs is that people speak in I phrases. And I was brought up in a home where I heard a lot, you know what you should do? And I would think, how would you know what I should do? You're not me. You know, you're a different person. And I don't, please don't give me your advice. I don't want it. And in AA, I have heard, this is my story that I'm telling, and this worked for me. And it was so much easier to hear. And the honesty and the love. I was very much loved in the rooms, and it just, I remember being very new, and a woman in one of the downtown meetings just turned to me and said, how are you doing today? But there was a kind of a care that came through her voice. And I just said, that was enough for me. I'm coming back tomorrow. Because I haven't been enjoying my life at all. And I want to live a different one. And I saw my father die at the age of 65, and he looked about 103. And he was estranged from all his children. And I just didn't want that. I wanted something more. I made a vow that I would finish my fourth and fifth step by September of that year, and I did. And I love the Living Sober book because it actually does give you advice, like if you go to a party, this is what you can do. You can bookend it. You can call somebody before the party and after the party, and always bring something non-alcoholic. Do not assume that they're going to have something for you, because I had been to parties when I was new, and the only beverage there for me was tap water. So, how am I doing with time? But
you're fine.
I'm fine. Good. And when I was new, I wanted the AA meetings. I thought, don't you have a part of the meeting where you kind of instruct people on how not to drink? And you know, I'm here, I'm going every day, and this person is talking about that their rent went up, and they want to talk all about that, or somebody else is talking about their problem, and how do I not drink? Why don't you make that part of the meeting? But it took me time to understand what was going on, and just being comfortable in my own skin. So today I sponsor a number of people, and part of my path was that I needed to go to therapy and other outside things. But putting the drink down one day at a time was like the first thing that I needed to do. And then I just got to the point of, I need outside help too. And I got it. In 2019, we were going on a trip in 3 days to Great Britain for 2 weeks. We were both very excited about it. And I was on a work errand, bringing some money over to Wells Fargo Bank. And I have no memory of this, but I was hit by one of those rent-a-scooters. And I fractured my skull and had brain bleeds. And I was very badly injured. And the trip was called off. And I was out of work for 3 months. But the when I was finally able to get walking a little bit, Joe, my husband, would drive me down to a meeting and pick me up afterwards. But to get back into a meeting and be with my people just meant so much to me. And it's still, I miss being in the rooms with my fellow members and holding hands. I miss getting hugs from people, but Zoom is great. We still have our meetings, and it's a miracle. And I wouldn't have believed it. I want to close with a something that I found in the big book tonight, and it's on page 451, and it's from a story called "He Lived Only to Drink." And this is the last paragraph of the story. The rewards of sobriety are bountiful and as progressive as the disease they counteract. Certainly among these rewards for me are release from the prison of uniqueness and the realization that participation in the AA way of life is a blessing and a privilege beyond estimate, a blessing to live a life free from the pain and degradation of drinking and filled with the joy of useful sober living, and a privilege to grow in sobriety one day at a time and bring the message of hope as it was brought to me. Thank you for giving me the privilege to speak with you tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Appreciate your service.